Section 3.3. Avoidance Behavior. When stuttering, stutterers will often use the nonsense syllables or less appropriate, but easier to say, words to ease into the flow of speech. Stutterers may also use various personal tricks to overcome stuttering or blocks the beginning of a sentence, after which their fluency can resume. Finger tapping or head scratching are two common examples of tricks, which are usually idiosyncratic and may look unnatural to the listener. In addition to word substitution or the use of filled pauses, stutterers may also use starter devices to help them ease into fluency. A common practice is the timing of words with a rhythmic movement or other event. For instance, stutterers might snap their fingers as a starter device at the beginning of speech. These devices usually do work, but only for a short amount of time. Often, a person who stutters will do something at some point to avoid, postpone, or disguise a stutter, and, by coincidence, will not stutter. The stutterer then makes a cause-effect connection between that new behavior and the release of the stuttering, and the behavior becomes the habit. As stutterers often resort to word substitution in order to avoid stuttering, some develop an entire vocabulary of easy-to-pronounce words in order to maintain fluent speech. Sometimes so well that no one, not even their spouses or friends, know that they have a stutter. Stutterers who successfully use this method are called covert stutterers or closet stutterers. While they do not actually stutter in speech, they nevertheless suffer greatly from their speech disorder. The extra effort it takes to scan ahead for feared words or sounds is stressful, and the replacement word is usually not as adequate a choice as the stutterer originally intended. Famously, some stutterers drastically limit their options when dealing with employees at given establishments, only eating cheeseburgers at fast food restaurants, ordering toppings they do not like on pizzas, or getting a style of haircut they do not want as a byproduct of their inability to pronounce certain words. Some stutterers have even changed their own given name because it contains a difficult-to-pronounce sound and frequently leads to embarrassing situations. Section 3.4. Severity. When the behaviors of a stutter are infrequent, brief, and are not accompanied by substantial avoidance behavior, the stutter is usually classified as a mild or non-chronic stutter. Non-chronic stuttering is often called situational stuttering because the afflicted person generally has difficulty speaking only in isolated situations, usually during public speaking or other stressful activities, and outside of these situations, the person generally does not stutter. When the behaviors are frequent, long in duration, or when there are visible signs of struggle and avoidance behavior, the stutter is classified as a severe or chronic stutter. Unlike mild or situational stuttering, chronic stuttering is present in most situations, but can either be exacerbated or eased, depending on different conditions. See positive conditions. Severe stutters often, but not always, are accompanied by strong feelings and emotions in reaction to the problem, such as anxiety, shame, fear, self-hatred, etc. This is usually less present in mild stutterers and serves as another criteria by which to define stutters as mild or severe. Another way of discerning between the two severities is by percentage of disfluency per 100 words. When a speaker experiences disfluencies at a rate around 10%, they usually have a mild stutter, while 15% or more is usually indicative of a severe stutter. In addition to the disfluency, many people who stutter display secondary motor behaviors. Observers often notice muscles tensing up, facial and neck tics, excessive eye blinking, and lip and tongue tremors. In extreme cases, entire body movements may accompany stuttering. Most common with stutterers is the inability to maintain eye contact with the listener, which in many cultures may hamper the growth of personal or professional relationships. It is worth noting that the severity of a stutter is not constant, and that stutterers often go through weeks or months of substantially increased or decreased fluency. Stutterers universally report having good days and bad days, and report dramatically increased or decreased fluency in specific situations. Below is an overview of the circumstances that harm and help the fluency of most stutterers. Section 3.4.1. Positive conditions. Subtle changes in mood or attitude often greatly increase or decrease fluency, with many stutterers developing tics or methods to achieve temporary fluency. Stutterers commonly report dramatically increased fluency when singing, whispering, or starting speech from a whisper, speaking extremely slowly, speaking in chorus, speaking without hearing their own voice, e.g., speaking over loud music, speaking with a metronome or other rhythm, speaking with an artificial accent or voice, speaking in a foreign dialect, or when speaking while hearing their own voice with a minuscule delay or pitch change. See treatments. Stutterers also display increased fluency when speaking to non-judgmental listeners, such as pets, children, or speech pathologists. It is perhaps most interesting to note that most stutterers experience extraordinary levels of fluency when talking to themselves. A rare few even experience increased fluency when they exclusively have the floor, public speaking or teaching, when they are intoxicated, or when they are explicitly trying to stutter. There is no universally accepted explanation for these phenomena. Section 3.4.2. Negative conditions. All speech is more difficult when under pressure. Commonly, social pressures, like speaking to a group, speaking to strangers, speaking on the telephone, or speaking to authority figures, will irritate and make worse a stutterer. Also, time pressure often exacerbates a stutter. Pressure to speak quickly when answering or conversing is usually very difficult for a stutterer, particularly on the telephone where stutterers do not have body language to aid themselves. This usually leaves dead silence in the place of nonverbal communication, which will indicate to the listener that the stutterer is not there or the line has been disconnected. Other times, pressures will also worsen a stutter, such as saying one's own name, which must be done without hesitation to avoid the appearance that one does not know his or her own name, repeating something just said, or speaking when somebody is waiting for a response. Section 4. Treatments. There are many treatments for stuttering, none of which is 100% effective. Traditional speech therapy reduces the frequency and severity of a stutter and teaches stutterers to use effective communication skills, such as making eye contact. While not a cure, speech therapy can lead to more fluent speech patterns and is especially effective in early childhood. The duration or type of therapy needed varies amongst stutterers, but usually involves both speech training, articulation, intonation, rate, intensity, and language training, phonology, morphology, syntax, semantics. Depending on the nature and severity of the disorder, common treatments may range from physical strengthening exercises and repetitive practice to the use of medication, electronic devices, and neurosurgery. Section 4.1. Behavioral and Cognitive Therapy. Behavioral and cognitive therapy is the most common approach to stutter treatment. Such therapy usually involves the development of new speaking habits and attitudes toward speech, often including exercises in manipulating rates of speech, establishing new breathing patterns, practicing relaxation, and targeting troublesome sounds. Breathing control is often emphasized, which focuses on proper control of the diaphragm. Proponents of this method see uncoordinated movements of the diaphragm as the core cause of stuttering. Another area sometimes emphasized during speech therapy is Valsalva training, which is training that specifically targets blocks by focusing on the gaining of greater control on the bodily mechanism that produces a block by halting airflow, the Valsalva mechanism. See external links for more. Also, during behavioral and cognitive therapy, efforts are made to increase confidence through repetition and positive feedback to help alleviate the anxiety and fear associated with speaking. While individual or group therapy with a licensed speech pathologist is common, self-therapy is also a very popular practice, mainly due to its lower cost, convenience, and lower pressure. The stutterer invests in the necessary books or tapes and spends varying amounts of time per day doing exercises similar to the exercises used in professional speech therapy. Therapy usually provides some improvement to most individuals within a few weeks or months, but, like most therapy for other disorders or afflictions, it often requires constant attention and practice to maintain success. Other, less accepted methods include everything from hypnosis to laughter to art therapy. Section 4.2. Medication. The use of medication that affects brain functions has also had limited success in increasing fluency, although it is usually used in conjunction with behavioral and cognitive therapy and may have side effects that limit its long-term usefulness. To date, only two medications, haloperidol and risperidone, have been shown to be effective in a rigorous double-blind, placebo-controlled trial. Unfortunately, both drugs have side effects that limit their usefulness, with haloperidol having more severe side effects than risperidone. The largest study of risperidone for stuttering was completed by the University of California Stuttering Research Group. In this study, risperidone improved fluency and was well tolerated by the participants. However, side effects associated with changes in levels of the hormone prolactin developed, and the medication was discontinued. Another drug, olanzapine, is similar to risperidone and haloperidol, but has a different side effect profile and has not yet been tested under a comparable double-blind, placebo-controlled trial. While the medicinal treatments for stuttering have vastly improved over recent years, there is still no medication that can cure stuttering. Like traditional speech therapy, medications can only decrease the frequency and severity of the stutter. Section 4.3, Electronic Fluency Aids. One recent trend in speech therapy is the use of electronic fluency aids. These devices are mostly based on altering the pitch with which the speaker hears his or her own speech, frequency-altered feedback or altered auditory feedback, playing back speech slightly delayed, delayed auditory feedback, playing white noise to disallow the individual from hearing his own voice, and playing slow and steady clicks, much like a metronome. These approaches have variously been said to either offer great success or to have no effect whatsoever. It is still unclear why these devices may work to alleviate stutters. Recent advances in digital technology have made the commercial application of these devices possible, and such products are already available, although they have yet to be widely adopted due to their high cost. The most popular form of electronic fluency aids are devices that are placed inside the ear, resembling hearing aids. Section 5. Stuttering and Society. For centuries, stuttering has often featured prominently in both popular culture and in society at large. Because of the unusual-sounding speech that is produced, as well as the behaviors and attitudes that accompany a stutter, stuttering has frequently been a subject of scientific interest, curiosity, discrimination, and ridicule. Stuttering was, and essentially still is, a riddle with a long history of interest and speculation into its causes and cures. Stutterers can be traced back centuries to the likes of Demosthenes, Aesop, and Aristotle. Some interpret a passage of the Bible to indicate that Moses also to have been a stutterer. Misinformation and superstition have influenced society's perceptions of the causes and remedies of a stutter, as well as the intelligence and perceived disposition of people afflicted with the disorder. Partly due to a perceived lack of intelligence because of his stutter, the man who became the Roman Emperor Claudius was initially shunned from the public eye and excluded from public office. This exclusion from public life suited his inclination towards the academic and gave him time for study. His infirmity is also thought to have saved him from the fate of many other Roman nobles during the purges of Tiberius and Caligula. By studying history, Claudius became very knowledgeable about governmental institutions, which later aided him as an emperor. Balbus Blaesus is another Roman who stuttered severely, so much that he became an exhibit in a freak show, where he was displayed locked in a cage. His last name, Blaesius, is now the Italian word for stuttering. Isaac Newton, the famous English scientist who developed the law of gravity, also had a stutter. Other famous Englishmen who stammered were King George VI and Prime Minister Winston Churchill, who led the United Kingdom through World War II. Although George VI went through years of speech therapy for his stammer, Churchill thought that his old mild stutter added an interesting element to his voice. Begin quote. Sometimes a slight and not unpleasing stammer or impediment has been of some assistance in securing the attention of the audience, end quote. For centuries, cures, such as speaking with a pebble in the mouth, as per the legendary orator Demosthenes, consistently drinking water from a snail shell for the rest of one's life. Begin quote, hitting a stutterer in the face when the weather is cloudy, end quote, strengthening the tongue as a muscle, and various herbal remedies were often used, clearly to little effect. Similarly, in the past, people have subscribed to various theories about the causes of stuttering, which today one might consider odd. Proposed causes of stuttering have included tickling an infant too much, eating improperly during breastfeeding, allowing an infant to look in the mirror, cutting a child's hair before the child spoke his or her first words, having too small a tongue, or, begin quote, the work of the devil, end quote. Roman physicians attributed stuttering to an imbalance of the four bodily humors, yellow bile, blood, black bile, and phlegm. Humoral manipulation continued to be a dominant treatment for stuttering until the 18th century. Italian pathologist Giovanni Morganini attributed stuttering to deviations in the hyoid bone, a conclusion he came to via autopsy. Later in the century, surgical intervention via resection of a triangular wedge from the posterior tongue to prevent spasms of the tongue was also tried. In more recent times, movies such as A Fish Called Wanda, 1988, and A Family Thing, 1996, have dealt with contemporary reactions to and portrayals of stuttering. In A Fish Called Wanda, a lead character, played by Michael Palin, has a severe stutter and low self-esteem. His character, who is socially awkward, nervous, an animal lover, and reclusive, portrays a prevalent stereotypical image of stutterers. The three other characters in the movie generally make up the spectrum of reactions to stuttering. Jamie Lee Curtis's character is sympathetic and sees past it, John Cleese's character is polite but indifferent, and Kevin Kline is malicious and sadistic. Upon release, the film caused controversy among some stutterers who disliked the film for its portrayal of Palin's character as the pushover amid the bullying his character receives, and received favor from others who valued the film for showing the difficulties stutterers commonly face. Palin, whose father was a stutterer, stated that in playing the role he intended to show how difficult and painful stuttering can be. He also donated to various stuttering-related causes and later founded the Michael Palin Center for Stammering Children in London. In 1983, the movie The Right Stuff referenced the real-life stuttering problem of John Glenn's wife, Annie, and how it rendered her fearful and unwilling to do a news conference during his initial spaceflight. As he reported in his autobiography, John Glenn, a Memoir, and as shown on screen in The Right Stuff, her stuttering was never a problem between the two of them, and he, begin quote, just thought of it as something Annie did, end quote. But she grew frustrated with it, and some years later put herself through intense speech therapy to largely overcome it. A proud moment for the both of them was the first public speech she gave on her experiences as a stutterer. Though a stutterer might seem to be an unlikely radio star, Howard Stern hired a stutterer sight unseen, begin quote, he stutters, hire him, end quote, to conduct celebrity interviews. Known on the Stern Show as Stuttering John, John Melendez worked for Stern for 15 years before taking a position as the announcer on The Tonight Show. Howard Stern also has a collection of frequent guests, many of whom have speech impediments of some type. While their afflictions are exploited for comedic purposes, members of the Whack Pack are well-loved by Howard Stern and his fans. In addition to personal feelings of shame or anxiety, outside discrimination is still a significant problem for stutterers. The vast majority of stutterers experience or have experienced bullying, harassment, or ridicule to some degree during their school years, with this trend often carrying over into the workplace. Stuttering is legally classified as a disability in many parts of the world, affording stutterers the same protection from wrongful discrimination as for people with other disabilities. The UK Disability Discrimination Act 1995 and the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990 both specifically protect stutterers from wrongful dismissal or discrimination. Along with disability legislation, many stutterer rights groups have formed to address these issues. One interesting example is the Turkish Association of Disabled Persons, which successfully appealed to the major Turkish telephone company Telsim, resulting in reduced rates for people with stutters or other speech disabilities because of the additional time it takes them to converse on the telephone. Also, the U.S. Congress passed a resolution in May of 1988 designating the second week of May as Stuttering Awareness Week, while International Stuttering Awareness Day is held internationally on October 22nd. Even though public awareness of stuttering has improved markedly over the years, misconceptions are still very common, usually reinforced by inaccurate media portrayals of stuttering and by various folk myths. A 2002 study focusing on college-age students and conducted by the University of Minnesota Duluth found that a large majority viewed the cause of stuttering as either nervousness or low self-confidence, and many recommended slowing down as the best course of action for recovery. Many parents of children who have or are suspected to have a stutter still erroneously subscribe to the belief that ignoring the speech problem is the surest way toward rehabilitation. While these misconceptions are damaging, groups and organizations are making significant progress towards a greater public awareness.